Blog Talk Radio.
There's a battle to win. Nations have dropped from 16 to 12 to 8. Now it's down to the championship four at Homestead Miami Speedway. The stage is set. The stakes are high. The glory will live forever. It's time! The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship Ford EcoBoost 400. November 22nd. Go to homesteadmiamispeedway.com for tickets. Only one will rise.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. You're in the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson here in Talladega, Alabama. Sorry, everybody, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. I know that Tim will be on here just very shortly. I just want to get this thing going so we didn't have too much dead air. Got a lot of things to talk about tonight. We got the championship race here coming up this weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway, three championships on the line. And we got a lot to talk about from Phoenix International Raceway. So I'm going to go ahead and get this thing started out here, and I'm going to bring Reverend Joe on here, and we're going to get this thing rolling out here. Reverend Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing, sir? Can you hear me okay?
I'm doing pretty good. I've got you, Reverend Joe. Pretty good weekend out there in Phoenix this weekend. Unfortunately, we had a little bit of rain that cut the Sprint Cup Series race a little bit short, and unfortunate for that. Did you get to make it out there for the weekend?
Unfortunately, I didn't. Just wasn't enough funds to do it. Too much other stuff going on, and then just not enough funds came in. It's been a tight, tight year. But watched every bit of it on TV, and it was a great race. And if it hadn't come up short, it was a shame it did that way. But I'm pleased with the final four. So why don't we get into some prayer and let you get the thing started, and I'll get out of your way.
All right, sounds good.
Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for all you do. We thank you for a racing season that's coming to a close and where we've had no horrible problems at all. Rain, yes, but other than one or two incidences, we haven't had any major problems. So we thank you so much for all of that. Be with us. Be with all the drivers and all the fans and all the officials and everyone involved at Miami Speedway this weekend. And also be with all of our racers all over the country that are competing in other events. And be with our country. Be with Paris, France, as they're struggling with such a horrible situation. Help our soldiers and our leaders, all those involved all over the world, to make the right decisions and protect us all. And we thank you, Lord, for sending your son to protect us from going to hell. So be with us all and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Irvin Joe, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Thanks for everything that you've done for us throughout this season. I know that the season is coming to an end, but as always, appreciate everything you've done for us all year long. Can't say how much that we do appreciate it. And as always, please let everybody know how they can follow you on social media. And we'll let you get out of here because we've got a huge, huge show going on tonight. And I do believe that Tim is with us finally.
Good. Well, God bless you guys. Everyone can get a hold of me at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. My website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and they can call me on the phone anytime at 951-232-7630. We'll talk to you next week, and everybody have a wonderful time in Miami.
Thank you, Reverend Drew. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, Stephen, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you, Tim. I got this thing rolling on along for us, guys. And glad that you're finally in here with us. A lot to talk about tonight. And I'm going to turn this thing over to you to keep us going here.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I don't know what happened. My call dropped off there. But anyway, now I'm going to turn it back over to you because you're doing a good job. I'm going to let you handle it tonight since it's our final show, well, not our final show, but the show before coming into Homestead, and I'm gonna let you handle it, Stephen. And we want to bring on ABC 3340, Mayor Rogers, Megan Thomas. She's gonna give us our weather forecast for Miami Homestead Speedway. And Stephen, I'm gonna let you talk to Megan, and y'all go. And when y'all get done, we'll start talking with some racing. But let's bring Megan Thomas in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. Megan, how you doing, sweetie? I always call you Mother Nature. I'm going to hang out with you, a good friend that got my back right there with Texas Difficult. A good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson up in Richmond. Stephen, you got Megan.
Hey, Megan, how you doing tonight on here?
I am doing good. I'm doing good. I hope all your technical difficulties are getting situated.
Yeah, we do too. So, I've already kind of looked at the weather for this weekend down at Homestead Miami Speedway and around the area, and I'm going to go ahead and turn this thing over to you, and I'm going to let you give us the word on what's going to happen this weekend for the championship. I'm going to close this NASCAR season out in Homestead Miami Speedway and down in that area. Hopefully we can get some sunshine and some nice weather out there, but I'm going to let you
Yeah. Okay, so first off, I think I was wrong last week when I said it was going to be sunny in Phoenix, and it rained. Can you believe it? Rain in the desert. But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be rainy this weekend in Miami as well. It'll be mostly cloudy on Saturday and Sunday, about a 50% chance of rain both days. And it's going to be breezy at times. So that weather is what we'll be seeing tomorrow here in Alabama as well. So that keeps traveling west, and it obviously is going to go south as well. We're going to see some showers in Miami. But for those of you in Alabama, we do have a risk for some strong storms late tonight, so early tomorrow morning, I guess, beginning around 4 a.m., lasting through about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So if those of you who are in central Alabama, I will be in at work early at 4 a.m. as well, just to help out Charles with some traffic duties and things like that. But again, if you are headed to Miami, bring the rain gear, probably pack the patience solely for the fact that we might see some rain down there.
Yeah, rain 2 weeks in a row. I don't think that the NASCAR fans can really take too much rain this season. We've been marred by rain too many different weekends, and not really the way we want to close out the season, but we're going to have to figure it out some way, somehow. And I appreciate everything, like I said to Reverend Joe earlier, everything you've done for this year on the radio show. It's very much appreciated. And before we let you go, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media. And we'll let you get out of here for the final time this year on the Pit Stop Radio.
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, meteorologist Megan Thomas. Or follow me on Twitter at MegTom_WX, and I will be talking to y'all soon.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you, Megan. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Great job, bud. That was our meteorologist, Megan Thomas, ABC 3340 over there in Birmingham. Okay, Stephen, we're going into the final weekend, and I keep wanting to jump toward this cup stuff, but the final four and everything like that. But just to let everybody know who we got coming on tonight. We've got you actually sit down today one-on-one with the driver of the number 8, Anderson Pure Maple Syrup Chevrolet, and for Nemco Motorsports, Mr. John Hunter Nemechek, and after our 10th World Truck Series. I can't wait to hear what y'all had to talk about. And then at the top of the hour, we've got driver of number 32, Great Clips Chevy for Braun Motorsports, and after our 10th World Truck Series, J.J. Haley, which also had a heck of a run there in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West, which I think it was combined. But you and me go ahead and start everything off with the K&N Pro Series, and then we'll roll into the trucks, the cup, and we'll come up on your interview at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, let's kick this off with the NASCAR K&N West Series out there, crowning a champion at Phoenix, and we'll go ahead and get everything else rolling through here.
Okay. Let's crank this up. Let's get ready to run.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Okay, the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West had their final race number 13, for the Casino Arizona 100 Phoenix International Raceway. Your winner was Todd Gilliam. Second place, William Byron. Third place, my good friend Brandon Burt Reynolds. Fourth was Dalton Sargent. Fifth was, I need my glasses, Landon Castle. And your 2015 NASCAR K&N Pro Series West champion, Mr. Chris Eggleston. J.J. Haley won the pole with a time of 27.065 seconds, a speed of 133.013 miles an hour. We got him coming on later. Time of the race is 1 hour, 9 minutes and 56 seconds. Average speed was 86.654 miles an hour. Caution flags was 10 for 14. As I said, your lap leader, J.J. Haley, 1 through 94, Todd Gilliam, 95 through 98, William Byron, 99, and Todd Gilliam led the final lap to win there. And do you want to chime in on that, Stephen? Anything about the K&N Pro Series West? That was a pretty good race.
No, I wasn't able to watch the race, so I don't really have much to say about it. I do have to say congratulations to Chris Eggleston out there for winning out there. He did a heck of a job all year long for BMR. They put together a really good team out there to run for that championship, and he's been doing pretty good, not only for them, but throughout his career, and hopefully we'll see him move on into something else, maybe in the Truck Series or in the very near future.
Yeah, I want to congratulate him, too, if he's listening. Congratulations on the K&N Pro Series thing here. And, Stephen, the NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series, we had a bunch of talk. I mean, we had all this going on at Phoenix. So go ahead and let everybody know what happened there in the Tampa World Truck Series there at Phoenix International.
Yeah, Phoenix International Raceway, Friday night underneath the lights out there with the Lucas Oil 150. Timothy Peters, your eventual winner out there. Unfortunately, a couple of the championship leaders got into it out there. Matt Crafton and Eric Jones got together late in the race. Unfortunately, that has put Matt Crafton out of contention for the 2015 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series championship. He will not be able to win a third in a row, unfortunately. That did put Timothy Peters under the red flag leading the race. He was able to go on and become the winner. His 10th victory in 206 events in NASCAR Camp World Truck Series, his second victory in 2015. This is also his first victory in 7 events out there at Phoenix International Raceway. John Hunter Nemechek, who we'll talk to very shortly out there, finished second, and this is a couple times this year that he's come out very close to winning a race. John Wetowny, again, having a really good run, finishing third. Eric Jones finishing, staying in the points lead by 19 over Tyler Reddick. These are the only two drivers going into this weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway that have a statistical and mathematical advantage into winning the championship in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Toyota has clinched the 2015 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Manufacturers Championship. It is the eighth title, and it ties Chevrolet for the most in series history.
Yeah, that's some good stats there, Steve. And if we can, we're going to listen to a little bit about what Peters and Richmond and Deloach had to say in the media center at Phoenix International Raceway.
Okay, we're now joined by the race winners of tonight's Lucas Oil 150 here at Phoenix International Raceway. Driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota, Timothy Peters, as well as team owner Tom Deloach and crew chief Marcus Richmond. This is Timothy Peters' second win of the year, the 10th of his career, and helped clinch the 8th manufacturer title for Toyota. Big night for you.
For sure. Congratulations to Toyota for clinching their manufacturer's championship tonight, and thank them for letting me be a part of the family for 7 years, going into 7 years. So it's been very enjoyable to do the stuff that we've done together, especially tonight going to Victory Lane. Nothing sweeter than that. So, you know, we was able to dodge a few obstacles tonight, and Marcus put us in good position. Pit crew put us in great position to be there at the end. So, you know, thank the good Lord for a great, safe race, and, you know, give him all the glory. So just this is unbelievable. I'm speechless.
Marcus, for you, this is the sixth top 10 in a row for you guys. Kind of talk about the turnaround for the team and the recent success.
We didn't unload where we wanted to today. I mean, it's yesterday, and in qualifying, we kind of had a little hiccup first round, but Timothy don't give up on us, and we don't give up on him. We just keep digging hard week in and week out. And, I mean, ever since Pocono, we've kind of hit our stride. We've had a few hiccups here and there, but the team is really doing a really good job at the fab shop and the engine shop triad. And we just like to thank Tom Deloach for giving us this opportunity, and Chris Lambert did an awesome job tonight dodging all the wrecks. So this is very sweet.
And, Tom, a similar question for you. Kind of talk about the recent success at Red Horse and clinching the manufacturer title and all this recent success for the team.
Thank you. It's a real thrill for me. I'm the longest Toyota team in the garage. I've been with Toyota longer than anyone else in any of the Traveling Series garage, so it's very special for me to bring home a manufacturer championship for Toyota. They've been a fantastic partner. I've seen it grow over the years. When I first started with them, they only raced trucks, so obviously they've kind of grown up a little bit bigger in the series now and kind of competing on the top level to get a cup championship. So nice to see the Toyota growth. This weekend has been fantastic. It kind of caps a little bit of the push that we've had ever since Pocono. Timothy and Marcus have really come together. The entire team has come together. The pieces of work, the pieces have fallen into place, and they seem to be clicking. And that's one of the things you talk to any past champion, they will tell you that once it falls into place, it's just kind of magic and it kind of keeps rolling. And that's what we're seeing.
Thank you. With that, we'll open it up to questions. Please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation. We'll start right up front.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. What went through your mind when you saw the 488 wreck?
Be careful what you say. You don't have any nasty words here.
Right. No, I mean, I really couldn't. I was shocked, really, and Tom shocked me too. No, I'm just kidding. Number one, I looked on the big screen and saw that both of them were fine. And that's the main thing. It looked like two pretty decent little hits. The next thing too is that knowing that the damage that the four had, you know, it kind of put us in the catbird seat. So the main thing was just making sure that we take advantage and try to cap off the win tonight, not charging the corner entry, which I have a bad habit of doing that, but make sure that we get off the corner. So we executed, and it feels good answering your questions.
We'll go to Reed and then the back.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. How close a call did you have with that record on lap six in front of you? And after that, after you missed it, did you think it might be your night?
Well, when I saw it happen and coming back across the racetrack, I was you know, I can't tell you what I was thinking, but I was thinking, here we go again, because the last 2 years we've had great trucks, but we've been at the right place at the wrong time. And again, the Lord works in great ways. You know, tonight was our night, and even though we missed it by our chinny chin chin, we was able to miss it. And we the only damage that's on the truck is for me getting crazy burning it out. So I'm sure that won't be a problem if we keep continuing to go down this path.
We'll go back here and then come over to Chris.
And Stephen, that was Timothy Peters there in the media center at Phoenix International Raceway. After he won his second NASCAR Temple World Truck Series race this year, you know, previously he won at Talladega, which I was fortunate enough to be there. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, he was right. He was right there at the catbird seat. He was right there when it counted, leading those final 20-some-odd laps out there when they finally got out of that red flag situation. Unfortunately, like I said, put Matt Crafton out of contention on being able to win three in a row out there in the Camper World Truck Series. And Johnny Sauter had a lot of damage, too.
Exactly. You know, unfortunately, you know, teams are not going to be able to run for the championship. But, you know, Tyler Reddick and that bunch there, Matt Crafton, I think. Don't want to mess up. I got my mind going. But, yeah, okay, Stephen, I'll go ahead, because we got a lot going on tonight. We're going to play your interview and everything. I'm going to go ahead with the NASCAR Xfinity Series, race number 32, 17th annual, DAV 200, honoring American veterans, Saturday, November the 14th. Kyle Busch was your winner. Brad Keselowski, P2. P3 was Eric Jones. P4 was Daniel Suarez. And P5 was Ty Dillon. Time of the race was 1 hour, 45 minutes, 39 seconds. Average speed was 113.583 miles per hour. Margin of victory was 3.097. Like I said, Kyle Busch won the 17th annual DAV Honored America's Veterans. His series record extended 76 victory in 310 NASCAR Xfinity Series races. Man, that is just something to talk about. I mean, you know, good Lord. This is his sixth victory. An 11th top 10 finish in 2015. This is his track record 8th victory in 15 top finishes in 19 races at Phoenix International Raceway. Of course, like I said, Brad Keselowski finished 2nd, posted his 11th top 10 finish in 17 races at Phoenix International Raceway, and his 9th top 10 finish in 2015. Eric Jones, like I said, finished 3rd, posted his 3rd top 10 finish in 3 races at Phoenix International Raceway. Daniel Suarez, like I said, finished 4th, was the highest finishing rookie, and Chris Buescher leads the point standings by 18 points over Chase Elliott going to Miami Homestead. And, Stephen, do you want to read off the clinch scenarios and stuff?
Yep, one to go. Here we go at Miami. This is what it's going to take for Chris Buescher. Chris Buescher leads Chase Elliott, as you just said, by 18 points. He can clinch and win the NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship with a finish of 13 or better, 14th if he leads one lap, or 15th if he leads the most laps. Roger Penske and the number 22 Ford have already officially clinched as of this weekend the 2015 NASCAR Xfinity Series Owners Championship. And in the manufacturer's side, Ford leads Chevrolet by 6 points. Ford will clinch the Brill France Performance Award if the top finishing car finishes 2nd while leading at least one lap. So there are your clinch scenarios for your driver, your owner, and your manufacturer this weekend in the final Xfinity Series event for 2015 at Homestead Miami Speedway.
And, Stephen, for our listeners, if they couldn't quite comprehend all that, they can go to SpeedwayDigest.com. You got it posted there, Rick.
Oh, yeah. We put that up earlier today, so all this information that we're reading off tonight, if we're going too fast for anybody, we've got it all posted up there for anybody that wants to read back over this, and we'll be definitely posting it this weekend again, just so we can give everybody a refresher before the championship weekend kicks off.
And again, everybody, go to SpeedwayDigest.com for all your racing news. Stephen's got a hell of a website there. You can check everything out. All your information is there, all in one place. And Stephen, let's see what excuse me, Kyle Busch and Chris Dale had to say in the media center, Phoenix International Raceway, after his win.
All right, we're now joined by the winner of today's DAV 200 Honoring America's Veterans here at Phoenix International Raceway, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 54 Monster Energy Toyota, as well as crew chief Chris Gale. This is Kyle's 76th career NASCAR Xfinity Series win, his 8th Xfinity Series win here at Phoenix International Raceway, and his 4th in the last 5 races. Kyle, what is it about Phoenix that suits you so well?
I'm not sure exactly, you know, just must be the out west thing. I just enjoy coming out here and being back kind of close to home from Las Vegas, and just enjoying the desert heat, I guess. You know, it's not all that hot, but still it's fun to come out here, and the racetrack's a neat little racetrack. You know, certainly it's been challenging for me for Joe Gibbs Racing the last few years on the Sprint Cup side, but our Xfinity program's really got some good notes here. So I can't say enough about Chris Gale and everyone on this Monster Energy Camry team, everyone at Joe Gibbs Racing. They just continue to do a great job, and especially here at Phoenix, you know, again, it's a good place for us. So, you know, we knew that coming out here, we wanted to come out here and try to score the victory, and fortunately we were able to accomplish that here today.
And Chris, for you, you guys led 190 laps today, pretty dominant effort. Kind of talk about the preparation and how good the car was today.
Yeah, it was really good. I think we kind of knew that yesterday in practice. You know, you're just kind of trying to be optimistic and not be too overconfident with it. Really good. And you know, we kind of played with it a little bit and found, I think, a little something in the first practice, and that translated in the second practice. And then when it had speed and qualifying this morning, it was so much faster than everybody. It was like, okay, we're going to have a good piece here. It's just a matter of, you know, making the right calls during the race and not screwing it up pretty much.
Thank you. With that, we're going to open the floor to questions. Please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation. We'll start here with Reed, and then we'll go to the back.
You don't have to?
No.
Okay, good.
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Kyle, was that as easy as it looked? I mean, it seemed like you were under very little stress even when Brad got the lead out of the pits.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terribly hard, obviously. I do remember there was one other time here, I think I led 200 of 200 with Jason Ratcliffe, you know, so we've done that here before. Today was close, you know, we just weren't able to get the good enough pit stops to come out of the pits with the lead each time, you know, and hold our lead that we had, but all in all, you know, it was a very fast race car. I mean, flawless, really. We just worked in practice on a package that we knew that we needed to concentrate on to be able to turn the center and get good drive up off the corner and have good grip through the flat end down there at 3 and 4. You know, especially with the sun that comes down here, you know, the handling tends to get a little bit better as you progress in the race, and 1 and 2 kind of takes care of itself with the shade. So you always got to be conscious of what's going on down in 3 and 4. So we did a good job of that and, you know, put it all together.
We'll go stand, and then we'll go to the back of the room there.
And, Stephen, just like Kyle and crew chief Chris Dale said there, the 54 was the class of the field all day at Phoenix. Any thoughts on that?
He was fast. He was real
fast.
You're dead
right.
Out there all day long. And I mean, I don't know what else to say about him. 76 wins out there. I mean, he's just clicking them off as fast as you can go. I mean, he has surpassed Mark Martin a long time ago, and it doesn't look like he's going to slow down anytime soon. And whenever Kyle Busch ever decides to retire or stop running in the Xfinity Series, he's going to be renamed the king of the Xfinity Series, and I think it's going to be one of those situations like Richard Petty. You're not going to be able to catch him. It's going to be very, very hard to do so.
Exactly. Exactly. And, Stephen, before we go over into the Cup stuff, before we play your sit-down interview with John Hunter Nemechek, I have some breaking news out of NASCAR. I got some breaking news, Stephen. This is a statement from Matt Kenseth. Statement from Matt Kenseth to Joey Logano. So let's listen to this, Stephen, and we're going to step aside for just a second. This is the statement from Matt Kenseth to Joey Logano. Let me find it. Here it is. Hold on.
I haven't been to church since I don't remember when. Things were going great till they fell apart again. So I listened to the preacher as he told me what to do. He said, you can't go hating others who have done wrong to you. Sometimes we get angry, but we must not condemn. Let the good Lord do his job, and you just pray for them. I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, honey, I pray for you. I'm really glad I found my way to church, 'cause I'm already feeling better and I thank God for the words. Yeah, I'm gonna take the high road and do what the preacher told me to do. Yeah, you keep messing up and I'll keep praying for you. I pray a tire blows out at 110. I pray you pass out drunk with your best friend and wake up with his and her tattoos. Pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to. I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams never come true. Just know wherever you are, near or far, in your house or in
back live from Talladega, Alabama. You're in the pit stop. I'm Tim Despain, alongside my good friend, CEO of Speedway Digest, Mr. Stephen Wilson. Stephen, I had to do that, bud. I'm sorry.
I don't have a response for that one. I really don't.
Well, just to let you know. Just to let you know, Suzanne and AM was in on it too. We was gonna keep it from you. I'm sorry. I knew you'd like it.
That was funny.
Suzanne, get out of the way. Well, since we've stirred up the NASCAR world, let's let Stephen Wilson cover the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series at the Phoenix International Raceway this weekend. This past weekend, we're going to Miami, bud, and I know you got a lot to talk about. You got the school in between.
Yeah.
Phoenix
International Raceway. Yeah, I'm going to try and get through this because I'm trying to keep a straight face for this. I mean, all right. All right, I just got to get through this. I just got to do this thing. Phoenix International Raceway, Quick and Loads race for Heroes 500 out here at Eliminator Race. Eight racers went in. Only four were going to make it out. And well, 7 hours of rain marred the race until late at night. About 9:30, this thing finally kicked off. Unfortunately, we were unable to get a full race in. Quarter to midnight, Eastern Standard Time, with 93 laps to go. Rain descended upon Phoenix International Raceway, and NASCAR called the event. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was leading the race and won the Quicken Loans Race for Heroes 500. This was his 26th victory in 576 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races, his third victory in 22nd top 10 finishing in 2015, and his third victory at Phoenix International Raceway. Kevin Harvick finished second. Joey Logano finished third. And here are your drivers that are going to compete for the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup in Miami Homestead Speedway as they are seated. Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. And this is how it plays out. These are the roles. Plain and simple. Very easy to understand. No fluff. No games. Just very simple. The first driver across the line of those four win the Sprint Cup. Plain and simple. That's all you have to remember. So Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr., whoever crosses the line first, wins the Sprint Cup Series. And for the Owners Championship, the same rules also apply. So whoever crosses the line first, they also win the Owners Championship. As for the Manufacturers Championship in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Chevrolet has already officially clinched the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship. So there are your drivers. They are going to compete this weekend in Miami for all the glory, for all the money, and for the championship to be crowned the NASCAR Sprint Cup champion after 36 events and nearly 40 weeks of racing in the NASCAR Sprint Cup.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Sorry about that, but I thought
and
you
the
said
funny
that.
Thing ahead. About... And the funny thing about you playing that clip, Brett Buffer, who is famous for that, is going to introduce your four drivers at Homestead Miami Speedway that are going to contend for that championship. So that was rather appropriate that you played that.
Yeah, we love our buttons, Steven. We love that Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And if you want to, we're coming up here. We've got 19 minutes coming to the top of the hour. Let's play a little bit before we got J.J. Haley coming on. We'll see what Greg Ives and Rich Hendrick and Dylan Hart Jr. had to say in the media center at Phoenix International Raceway.
Okay, we're now joined by our race-winning crew chief and car owner in tonight's Quicken Loans Race for Heroes 500 here at Phoenix International Raceway. Joined by Greg Ives and Rick Hendrick. Greg, we'll go ahead and start with you. Very interesting race, obviously, the delayed for rain and then shortened by rain. Kind of talk about your strategy throughout the race and as the rain was approaching here in the closing laps.
Well, you know, kind of based off Martinsville or any type of rain delayed situation, you know, NASCAR's main thing is to try to get the race in, and, you know, when the weather cleared, they did a good job of making sure that happened. And you know, usually you'll see the first half of the race, or at least till halfway, kind of go pretty clean. You know, not a lot of debris, not a lot of incidents. You know, the drivers and everybody kind of minds their P's and Q's. And so we kind of knew that once past halfway, we'd see a couple more cautions. But, you know, so that rain started to pop up again. And, you know, we're on two long green flag runs there. And, you know, we just saw it coming. And we didn't know if it was going to happen before we pitted or after, but we knew at some point it was going to happen. And we elected to kind of pit it. Be one of the first few to pit. I think somebody got us one lap early, and you know, our pit selection at pit stall 33 there allowed us to, you know, when the caution came out, finish our pit stop and cross the start finish line and allow us to be scored the leader. So, you know, that, you know, the weekend always starts on Friday. You know, we always talk about that, and you know, we've been trying to improve it all year, and you know, this weekend kind of proved that we were able to do it, qualified third and get a good pit selection that allowed us to get an advantage that maybe somebody else needed, and we got it. So that's how it happened.
And then, Rick, for you, you swept the Eliminator 8 round with Jeff at Martinsville, Jimmy, and now this weekend with Dale. Kind of talk about first the win tonight and then looking ahead to Homestead Miami Speedway with Jeff.
You know, we felt like we were behind in the middle of the summer, and everybody got together and worked pretty hard and real hard. And you know, it's been paying off for us here these last four or five races. And, you know, the win tonight for Dale and Greg's a great one. You know, Harvick looked like he was going to have it, but, you know, we've lost some that way. And all the cars qualified good, ran good, and Dale was right there all night. We were really good at the mile and a half. Jimmy won that race, and then Martinsville. So with maybe another 6 inches, Dale would be going to Homestead. But we're really excited about Jeff. He always is good at Homestead, and I think whenever he can see, you know, the end of the race or the finish line, he's going to put a lot of effort in it. We put a lot of effort into that team going to Homestead, and a lot of momentum for all of our guys. So we're looking forward to Homestead.
Thanks, Rick. With that, we'll open the floor to questions. Please raise your hand, and we'll bring a wireless mic to you. We'll start up here with Lee. Right behind you.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. Real big turnaround for Hendrick Motorsports over the last month. I mean, Junior was fast all week. Jimmy, you know, looked like he could have been the class of the field tonight before the penalty. Just, you know, all the cars are just right there. You have to have a lot of confidence going into Homestead that you can win your next championship.
Yeah, you know, it seems like in a lot of years we were really strong all year long, and, you know, other teams peaked at the end. This year we started out with a really strong, and then we kind of hit a lull there, and, you know, I think the guys really buckled down. So all the momentum, seeing all the cars up front running really well. Jimmy was so fast tonight, and he was speeding. But, you know, you just have to be able to run in the top five, top ten in a consistent way. And Homestead's been a really good track for Jeff, really good track for us. So you know, I'm looking forward to it. It would, you know, again, it's hard to believe this will be Jeff Gordon's last race. I mean, he just – no, not yet. You know, it's. I'm excited for him because he's worked hard and he wants to spend some time with his kids. I talked him into one more year a couple of times, and so he deserves to be able to take the break. But it's going to be kind of strange going to Daytona and seeing the 24 car without his name on the roof. So it's going to be an exciting and a very emotional race at Homestead. Ted,
Stephen, you know, running short on time, coming up on top of the hour, we want to play your interview with John Hrnemacek. Any thoughts on the Greg Ives and Rick Hendrick's interview there in the media center? Thank you.
No, they just hit on one thing. Jeff Gordon's last ride this weekend, and he has the opportunity to win that championship out there, and he's had a good career over the last many years, and I don't think that he or anybody else could have probably dreamed of being in this situation of retiring and going to his last race and having an opportunity to winning a championship in your final year, in the final race. And I think that's huge, not only for him, but Hendrick Motorsports and the NASCAR community as a whole and what he's done throughout his career. So, you know, as we move into Homestead, Miami this weekend, I think all eyes will be on him. And, you know, from everybody, everybody I'm sure is wishing him the best of luck. And from us, the best of luck to him. He's had a great career, and it really is. You know, for all the haters over the years, for all the people that have bandwagoned him, and for all his fans, you know, it's definitely going to be very strange, very emotional situation that when he steps out of that car and they go back into Daytona in 2016 and he's not there.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely weird, Stephen. I mean, you know, because you and I, we followed him and, you know, watched him when he first got in the race car and everything. And he's been a class act to the field, not only a great race car driver, but a class act to the field. And there's no doubt, Stephen, I know you will agree with me, there's no doubt he will be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Most definitely. He will be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. We will still see him at the track. He'll be on Fox, but, you know, it's just going to be in a much different situation. He's not leaving the racing community. He just won't be in a car. and it'll be different. It'll take time for fans to get it readjusted to him being in a different role in racing. But you know, him not being in a race car is just going to be strange for a while. We've most of the people that have watched him over his 20 plus year career in NASCAR driving that number 24 Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports is you know, it's going to be really weird and very emotional, not only for him, but everybody on that 24 and Hendrick Motorsports and all his fans and everybody around him. So, you know, I think he just has to focus on what he's got to do this weekend. He's got a championship that he can potentially win, his fifth championship in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. So, you know, he has a lot to think about, and he can't dwell on that. He has to just focus on that right now and let the chips lie as they may when this race is all over with.
Exactly. And, Stephen, you got a chance to sit down one-on-one with John Hunter Nemechek, driver of NASCAR Camper World Truck Series, today, and we're going to play your interview with him. Do you have anything you want to say or anything before we play the interview?
No, let's get on into John Hunter Nemechek's interview. He's a really good kid coming up to the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Got a lot of good things to say about this season and looking forward to 2016, but we'll let him talk about it.
All right, 10-4. We're going to bring Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. Like I said, sitting down with John Hunter Nemechek, you and the Pit Stop, Tim Spain, and Stephen Wilson. We're going to step aside for a little bit and listen to the interview from John Hunter Nemechek.
John Hunter, thank you for joining us on the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson tonight. It's great having you on here in your rookie season for the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. You've had a bit of a short seasoning out here because you were not able to run in the first part of the season just because of the NASCAR rules out here. Talk a little bit about how you were able to sit back and watch your dad run some of the season out there first in the first part of the season, and what you were able to learn into that and take into the rest of the season out there on some of the bigger tracks, and what that has really done for you being in that situation in that kind of a shortened season.
Yes, with dad running the truck when I wasn't old enough or eligible, and it was a great learning experience for me getting to hear what he had to say on the radio, just getting to work with our guys this year. We made some changes over last year's offseason to kind of get some better help for this year, trying to be a little bit more prepared. So it's great to be up on the pit box, kind of looking over adjustments, looking over tire wear at some of these racetracks that I ended up going back to later in the season. It's been great getting in the truck, pretty much going full-time since my birthday. I think it's helped us as a team communicate better with each other week in, week out at the racetrack, and I feel like our whole team has gotten better.
Now, you went out there at Chicagoland Speedway, your first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series career win out there. That was kind of a real bright spot for you out there and a kind of a turning point in your career, especially in NASCAR for your first series win out there. Since then, you've been right there on that cusp of almost winning a couple of other events out there in the Camping World Truck Series. Talk a little bit about how that's turned your season around after Chicago, how you've been able to race out there, especially trying to get that second win out there, and where you have looked at improving since that win.
Yes, it was definitely a special win for us. I feel like our whole team was very motivated after that. It brought some confidence in, but there was a number of races earlier this year that I thought we had a chance to win in, just didn't have the luck or the finishes to show for it. I mean, we led some laps early on, but I feel like our team has gotten better since then. We keep working on our trucks and using our resources to the best of our ability each week that we go to the race.
Now, you know, we talked to a lot of different drivers, and especially your dad has been in NASCAR for such a long time, and you coming up through the late models and various other series throughout your career. You know, we talk to drivers that say sometimes that hurts them, sometimes that helps them, and you get varying different opinions sometimes. When you look at it in your career and you come from that kind of racing background,
How have drivers looked at you in your career? How has that helped you? How do you think that's hurt you? And how do you think that the drivers around you see that in a perspective of the way they rate you in general and how they've been able to help you in that kind of career, not necessarily just your dad helping you, but other drivers around you helping you?
I mean, growing up in the sport, you build relationships with other drivers and now that are cup champions and cup winners, and you can go to them and ask questions, and you know that they'll shoot you straight. They want to help you as much as they can, but growing up in the sport, it's been a great experience for me. But, I mean, it's the same thing as the Thursday night Little League with their family. I mean, we all grow up doing it, and it's just a routine deal.
Ned, 2016, obviously, you're going to be able to run the entire Camping World Truck Series in the full season. Talk a little bit about what your aspirations, what your goals are for next year. Obviously, you've got some sponsorship on board this year. You've got Meatball. You've got a couple other sponsors that have really helped you out this year. Hopefully, you'll be able to keep them on board for next year. But you're going to be able to run for a championship next year in a full season out there. It won't be a shortened season, obviously, like you've had this year. What are you going to be able to take out of this year and take into 2016?
Well, we're still looking for possible opportunities for sponsorship for next year. Our plans aren't set in stone right now, but to run for a championship 2016. I feel like we'll have a great season. I feel like we'll be there when it counts to run for the championship. But who knows? Time will tell. This year was our learning year, especially for me getting in the seat to run at these mile and a half and super speedways that I have never been to. So it was a learning year for us this year. We still can possibly win one more this weekend. Hopefully we can do that and get 2 wins this year. But it's all about learning. It's all about experience for me being a rookie this year. Next year, I feel like we will be very comfortable going into the year. We kind of know what packages we're going to run, but we never stop working as hard as we possibly can and utilizing our resources and engineering help to run faster and faster each week.
And one thing you've just hit on right there is, you know, being comfortable in the truck, being able to take over some stuff from 2015 into 2016. Where do you feel right now that you're most going to be able to improve into 2016 already?
I mean, that's a tough question. I feel like our team is well rounded, but there's room for improvement in all areas. For me as a driver, being patient on the racetrack or how to get through traffic, qualifying, pit stops on pit road, getting our truck set up better for each race. Everyone keeps getting faster every time they go to the racetrack. And all of our teams, as well as everybody else in the garage, everyone works as hard as they can each week to get their trucks to go faster every time you go back to that racetrack. So it's going to be a nonstop game of trying to engineer new things to make our trucks go faster, and that's where you're going to have to improve.
Well, John Hunter, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight and talk to us a little bit about 2015 and what you have going on into 2016. As we always do with everybody else, we're going to give you the time to thank your sponsors, let us know where we can follow you out on social media, and we'll let you get out of here. Like again, thank you for your time tonight. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and you can follow me on all social media platforms. J.H. Nemechek. Also, we're running for most popular driver this year in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, so make sure to go to nascar.com/most popular driver and vote for me for your favorite driver. You can vote once a day until this weekend, so keep voting.
Thank you much. Appreciate it.
And Stephen, thank you again for doing that interview there. We got to hang out with John Hunter and Cameron Haley. They done a big deal for one of the elementary schools here in Talladega, a big media deal. But John Hunter, I mean, he's a real class act. I mean, you know, he appreciates everything. And, you know, like you said, Joe, everybody appreciates what is given to them.
Yeah, really did. He was very genuine throughout the entire interview. And, you know, he had a lot of good things to say about what he has learned this year.
And you know, as we always talk to some of these up and coming drivers, you know, a lot of times it's very hard for them to get that sponsorship, even with a name like Nemechek or even an Elliott or Mick Reynolds, as we've talked to Brandon Rick Reynolds and his dad before. It's hard for everybody, but you know, he's learning. He hasn't been able to run the entire season this year only because of the rules of NASCAR, but he's made the best out of it. He's won one race at Chicago. Obviously this past weekend he came in second, and he's had a couple other races this year where he's had the opportunity to also come very, very close to getting to victory lane too. So he's going to be another star in NASCAR coming up very, very shortly. I look for good things out of him in 2016 that he continues in his career in the Camping World Truck Series and he continues to go through the NASCAR Xfinity or Sprint Cup Series in the future.
I definitely agree, Steven. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I got to talk to him a lot, especially here at the elementary school when they done another media deal. I've already said that before. But, I mean, you know, he, like I keep saying, he carries himself well. And just to throw this out there to our listeners, a lot of folks don't know, but I was sitting down talking to Miss Martha, you know, Joe's mom, John Hunter's grandmother. And we were talking about, I said, is John Hunter working out? She said, yeah, Tim, he works out every day, goes to school, and he's in the shop. He works on the car. And being working on the truck, I mean, you know, there's a lot of drivers that have come into the series that have not actually worked on the truck or the car or what have you. But I think drivers that work on their own vehicle, I think it makes them appreciate everything a lot. Don't you, Steven?
Yeah, I mean, that's the difference sometimes in a driver that excels and a driver that doesn't excel. When they understand what they're racing in and what the vehicle can do, it makes for them to run a better race. They can give better feedback to not only their crew chiefs, but they can also set the cars up better or their trucks up better going into an event. And then they can take that data and they can take what they've learned throughout the event and make it better for their when they return back to a particular track or a style of track that they may not be as good on or they may be very good on. And that sometimes seems to be the difference a lot of times. You take a look at Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick is a guy that started out, you know, working on his own cars, coming out throughout the series. But then you have a lot of drivers out there that has never turned a wrench ever in their life. They've been a driver where somebody put them in a car and they knew how to drive a car, but they can't give great feedback, which sometimes, yes, they can win, but it sometimes they have to have the help from the engineers or the crew chiefs, and they have to have a lot more knowledgeable people around them to really help them out, be a better driver, and set the cars up for things that really need to happen in that car week in and week out.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. And Steven, we got our top of the hour guest. I want to bring on driver number 32, Great Clip Chevy for Braun Motorsports and NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, Mr. J.J. Haley.
Let's get ready to rumble!
JJ, how you doing tonight, bud?
That was quite the intro right there. I'm doing well, though. Thanks for asking.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're in the pit stop with Tim Spain and my good friend, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com of Fair Richmond, Virginia, Mr. Stephen Wilson. First of all, I want to congratulate you on your first pole in the NASCAR K&M Pro Series, bud. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And just to talk a little bit about, you know, you won the pole, and I'll listen to the race on MRN.com, you know, talk about there at the end, and, you know, we'll go into the truck stuff later, but had a little bit of problems there at the end, didn't you, bud?
Yeah, I mean, we had a fast car all day, you know. In practice, we struggled a little bit. We had some control arm issues, but we got it fixed and, you know, went out and sat on the pole in qualifying by, you know, a little bit. So it was good to get a pole with H-Style Justin Marsh for the last race of the 2015 season. Unfortunately, we couldn't get a pole in the East, but, you know, we got one over the West. And, you know, we took a commanding lead there at the start of the race and, you know, led the whole race and dominated. Got, you know, several second leads, up to 40 car lengths at times, and, you know, just felt like we had the car, and, you know, it was going to happen. You know, we were finally going to get that win, but there on lap 94, I was going through the dog leg and felt my right front go down, and it happened to be I had about a quarter-sized hole in the right front from a rivet, and, you know, obviously our race was ended pretty early. Walked out there with a 21st finish, which, you know, really doesn't even matter at this point. But, you know, being so close and, you know, then not having it, you know, it's kind of like they're teasing me, but it was definitely a disappointing night.
Yeah, I know it was, JJ. I mean, because, you know, like I said earlier, we were sitting here pulling for you. But I don't want to take up all the questions. We had John Hunter Nemechek on earlier, you know, sitting to sit down with him one-on-one. But I'm going to hand you over to my good friend, Stephen Wilson at SpeedwayDigest.com. But I want to thank you again for taking time to come on and let Stephen ask you a few questions about the truck race and all that. And then I'll let him throw you back over to me if that's okay, bud.
Yeah, that works perfectly.
All right. Go ahead, Steve.
You've heard a little bit of everything this year from the K&N series to the truck series and even the ARCA over the last year or so. Talk a little bit about how being in several different series has been able to make you a little bit better of a race car driver, you know, getting in those vehicles, getting the seat time, and most definitely being able to be in those series has getting you comfortable to different tracks out there that you're going to be able to visit in the future?
You know, running several different series is obviously, you know, quite a bit of a task. Last weekend in Phoenix, I did double duty from K&N to truck, and I was running all around doing meetings and, you know, practices and a bunch of back-to-back stuff. So it definitely helped me, you know, get in tune with Phoenix last week. But overall in the season, you know, running that many cars definitely gets my name out there too. You know, lots of different groups of people, you know, different crowds, ARCA, and, you know, Trans Am, late models, K&N, trucks. It's just, you know, totally different. And then, you know, being able to adapt back and forth is something that you hear all the time. And it's definitely helped me as a driver. And, you know, just the more races you run, the different race scenarios you get into, and, you know, all around just helps you prepare for the future.
Being in the Capable World Truck Series, obviously you get to compete against so many different types of drivers in there. You get to compete against some veterans in the series. You get to compete against some of the younger guys that are obviously rookies in the series. But then you also get to compete against, you know, the likes of the Kyle Busches that come over and compete in the series that are in the Sprint Cup. When you get to compete against so many different types of drivers in that series, talk a little bit on how you go out there and race against so many different types of drivers, how that makes you a better driver in that series, and what kind of advice do you, when you approach them, do you go out there and kind of talk to them a little bit about being in the Camping World Truck Series and try and learn from them, not only racing against them, but the advice that you get to them, get from them but prior to racing?
You know, obviously racing with, you know, Kyle Busch and the Truck Series and, you know, Matt Crafton and Johnny Sauter and all the guys that have been doing it, you know, for what feels like forever for me. You know, when you get around and race them, they give you plenty of room and, you know, they just respectively race you. So I can learn a lot better because I'm not having to, you know, bump and grind and rub with them. I just got to, you know, he gives me room. So it's better to figure out the aero deal and the trucks and, you know, obviously – you know, you talk to them before driver intros and whatnot just to kind of get a feel for how the race is going to go. And to be honest with you, I really don't talk to that many other drivers. I kind of go back and forth with Daniel Hemric, but I got a driver coach, Michael Self, who's helped me a ton this year. And, you know, I've really leaned on him to help me this year.
Being in it, going back to the NASCAR K&N series, you've raced a little bit in the E series, you've raced a little bit into the West series. So many different styles of tracks that these cars run on. You run on everything from Bristol to Richmond to Bowman Gray to Phoenix, obviously. These cars are much, much different sometimes in what you're going to get into, especially in a Camping World Truck Series or anything else out there. But when you're in the K&N series and you're able to go out there, you talked a little bit about being able to kind of get your name out there, being in front of different groups of people. That's, you know, an aspect of racing that everybody has to do, especially in the up and coming when you're trying to get out there. You know, where do you see yourself, you know, kind of in the next year or so in the K&N series? Are you looking to run for a championship? Are you looking for that stability in that series to be able to run there?
You know, the K&N series is obviously a great starter series for, you know, kids like me. You know, it's got the Bowman Grays, but it's also got like the Phoenixes and the Dovers, and then you go over and play at Wauquetin and, you know, Sonoma and just places like that. So it's definitely a very diverse series when it comes to racetracks. It definitely helps. Taking the same car to a completely different track every week is, you know, just the learning curve is, you know, unbelievable. But, you know, I'm actually kind of disappointed we didn't finish a little better in points this year. We had speed everywhere we went, and it wasn't a lack of effort at all. You know, I feel like we could have won out and won every single one of those races if we would have just had a little luck. You know, this season definitely has been the pit of bad luck for me. You know, Phoenix, and, you know, we had a few East races won, but, you know, just couldn't finish the deal due to, you know, flat tires or, you know, something like that, getting wrecked. So, you know, definitely next year, you know, I'm going to go for the championship and try to win a lot of races because I definitely know I can.
Well, JJ, I appreciate you taking the time to come on here and talk to us a little bit about what you've got going on this year. Are you going to be able to make it down to Homestead this weekend in the truck series for the finale?
You know, I wish I could go do Homestead, but, you know, I'm only 16 in a few months, so I really can't go on anything bigger than a mile right now. NASCAR won't let me, just due to the age limit. So I gotta wait a few more years till I can go on anything bigger.
That's right. Sometimes NASCAR and their rules, I tend to forget. There's so many, the book is so long that even I tend to forget them some days. But yeah, good luck. I appreciate, like I said, I appreciate it, and good luck in 2016. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. And, you know, we touched a little bit earlier, you know, JJ, you won the pole there at Phoenix with a time of 27.065 seconds, and I think a speed of 133.013 or something like that. Can you sort of touch on that far as our listeners about how fast that is around Phoenix International Raceway?
It's pretty fast. You know, I think the trucks when we qualified was 137, so the K&N cars are definitely getting it done around there. You know, we got the long 3 and 4, which is definitely, you know, tricky to get your throttle pickups and let-offs in the right spot. The first guy that went out in qualifying was David Mayhew. I was standing by my car, and Michael Self is right next to me, and he said, "You got to pick it up 2 car lengths before he did." And I went out, and he said that was 3, and that's why he said on the pole. So he was a big help to how I got on the pole. But, you know, 133 miles per hour around, you know, dogleg configuration is pretty crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, like we say here in Talladega, Alabama, my little redneck draw here, that's called getting some yonder, ain't it, bud?
Yeah.
And, JJ, you know, you finished 7th in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. I mean, you know, that nothing – I mean, you know, awesome run, bud. I mean, can you give us a little bit of insight about that, about the run there in the Camping World Truck Series for Braun Racing there at Phoenix?
Yeah. You know, we kind of struggled in practice a little bit. It was a new truck, considering I junked mine at Martinsville due to not having brakes. So we built a new truck together real quick, and it was a really solid piece, you know, and struggled a little bit in practice, just getting me used to the trucks instead of the K&N car. Finished 17th, and we went out to qualify, and, you know, my guys at Brown Motorsports worked all night, and it was unbelievably good. You know, we were third in our third ever, you know, race as a team. You know, it's a brand new team, and to go out there and be third in our third race is pretty cool. You know, we ran around the top five all race, and then, you know, I messed up a few pit stops, not something I normally do. And Phoenix has, like, concrete pit boxes, so they're super slick, especially in a cold environment. So I had to get used to the pit stops there in the truck. And there, with about 30 laps to go, our track bar on the right side dropped down and made the truck extremely tight. We fell back from fourth with 20 to go and finished seventh. So if that wouldn't have happened, then I feel like we definitely had a really, really strong top five. Just, again, with the luck, it's just not in my favor.
Yeah, and JJ, if you can, I know your time's limited, but can you sort of tell our listeners about the difference in running the K&N car Phoenix versus the truck? You know, the truck's got the higher center of gravity. Can you talk a little bit about that, bud?
Yeah, with the trucks, you just let out of the gas a little bit earlier. Use a little less brake, actually. You just roll more center through the speed of the corner. You know, the trucks have, you know, been really good on fast tracks. You know, I've never took a truck to a fast track, but they just seem to not roll over like they would in Martinsville. But with a K&N car, like on the restarts when I was leading, I would hold it wide open through one and two, and, you know, we'd just be unbelievably fast. But the transition, it isn't that really big. It's just, you know, throttle pickups and points is a little bit different, but you run the exact same line.
And, JJ, before we let you go, like I said earlier, I know your time is limited. The phone lines are lit up. Do you have time to take a question from one of our callers?
Yeah.
Okay. This is my good friend, Todd Bigsby. He's right there. He's number one every weekend. Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen. Let's bring Todd in the pit stop. Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson, and Mr. J.J. Haley. Todd, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. J.J.'s time is limited. We're going to let you ask him a question, bud. You go ahead. You got the floor.
J.J., compared to this year, what are you looking forward to more for next year?
I feel like going into next year, we're going to be a lot more prepared. The team and me will, you know, we've been working with each other for a whole year now, so we definitely know what we need out of each other. You know, my crew chief, Mark McFarlane, has worked with me, and we'll go back to the tracks with, you know, the setups that we ended with. So, you know, just working with the same team 2 years in a row is definitely going to be a big advantage next year. So I'm really looking forward to that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time to answer a question for me, and I enjoy following you on Facebook.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. That's our loyal listener, Todd Beezer from upstate New York, Watkins Glen. Stephen, do you have any last thoughts for Mr. J.J. Haley before we let him go?
I do not.
Okay. J.J., thank you very much for taking time out. And just like we always do, we'll let everybody thank their sponsors and let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud. You got the floor.
Yeah. You know, Great Clips is really cool for Great Clips to come on board this year. And sponsor number 32 truck. I got to thank them and my uncle Todd Ron and my whole family, my grandpa, Ralph Ron, and, you know, just everyone that's made it happen, the whole H. Kyle Justin Marks crew and the Brown Motorsports crew. You can follow me on JJHaley_racing on Twitter and JJHaleyRacing on YouTube, Facebook, and Vine.
JJ, thank you very much for taking time out to come on the show. Don't be a stranger. If you ever want on, you got my cell number. You send me a text, or I'll just send you something. And congratulations on everything this past weekend at Phoenix, bud. We appreciate you. We'll talk at you later.
All right. Thank you guys for having me on.
All right. You're welcome, bud. Okay, that was JJ Haley, driver of the NASCAR K&N Pro Series for Braun Racing, and the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series made its debut this weekend. Stephen, any last thoughts about this weekend at Miami Homestead Speedway? But I can't wait.
Um, 91 races. We've gone 91 races. We'll crown three champions this weekend. All three championships will be decided at Homestead Miami Speedway. 40 weeks of racing, thousands of miles, controversy, drama. I don't think you could really ask for anything else more in a NASCAR season than what we have seen this year in 2015. I really don't. If the fans are not thoroughly enjoyed, if they haven't gotten their money's worth, if they have not seen what they want to see, then I can't help them out.
Exactly. If they don't like what they've seen, just like you and I have talked across the whole board all year, and our good friend Todd Bibcher right there too, we've all talked about it all year. It's been one hell of a season, bud.
That it has. That it has.
And let's bring Todd in. We're going to bring Suzanne in. We hadn't done this in a while. We're going to make our picks. Let me get my ink pen ready. And so, Stephen, we're going to let you go first since you're the CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. Who are you going to pick to win the champ? Well, let me see. Let's don't pick to win the race. Who's going to win the championship at Miami Homestead Speedway? Stephen, you got the floor. Go ahead. Who are you going to pick?
It's a tough decision. It really is. I had to go with the statistics on this one. I'm sure everybody in the NASCAR nation is probably thinking that Jeff Gordon is going to win this one. I would like to think that Jeff Gordon is going to win this one. I don't think that he statistically is going to be able to. He's going to need some help. Kyle Busch would be the most obvious choice because he has done everything this season that anybody could ever ask for out of a driver to get in this chase, to stay in this chase, and compete for this championship and come to Homestead, Miami. Unfortunately, statistically standing, I don't think that he will win at Homestead. He has a shot, but it's a slim shot. So my pick, and this is what I think, going back-to-back, is Kevin Harvick. Statistically speaking, he is going to come home as your 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion. So that's what I have. That is what I've picked, and that is what I'm going with. And to top that off, the 7-year-old Caleb has also, as his driver, picked Kevin Harvick to win too. But that did not influence my decision at all.
Okay,
decision.
I'm gonna write Caleb down for the 4-2.
Caleb told you who to vote for.
Okay, well, you put Caleb down for the 4. As winning the championship, but that did not influence my decision. My decision was based solely on the statistical chances of who is going to win. But like I said, I have picked 4. I have picked him in the NASCAR media. I have picked him in our fantasy, and I am picking him here tonight as going back-to-back and as the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion. So that is what I say, and that is what I've picked, and that is what I'm going with this weekend.
All right, Stephen, I'm not going to send it to you. You tell Caleb, I know you picked 4, Caleb picked 4. You tell Caleb, if the 4 wins, I'm going to send him this special edition Talladega Super Speedway cap I got from Jeff Gordon's last race at Talladega. You tell him I'll definitely send it to him.
All right, I will.
All right. And let's stay on the line. Todd, I know Todd's there, but we normally do women first, but let's bring Suzanne on. Suzanne, I know who she's going to. No, she can't pick the race winner. She has to pick. Suzanne, you got to pick who's going to win the 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship. And Stephen and Caleb have already picked the four. So the four is off. So you have to go between the 24, the 78, and the 18.
Oh, God. I can't go with Caleb?
No, they've already picked the four. The four is off, just like me and G do here on Thunder 92.7. Once you pick, once somebody picks a number, it's off. You got to pick another number. Who's going to win the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship?
Okay,
like I said, man,
18.
18. Oh, you picking Kyle Busch?
Well, my man is in there.
Okay. All right, so now I'm going to put you back in mute.
Okay.
Put you back in mute. All right. We're going to bring Todd on. All right, Todd, Stephen and Caleb. They both picked the four, and I'm letting Caleb do that with Stephen because he's a kid. So they picked the 18. You have the 24 and the 78 left. Who are you going to pick?
I'm going to pick the 78.
The 78.
Pull a hat trick.
I'm not going to pick SAM. Who she's going to pick? Well, there's only one number left, so AM's going to go with the 24, right?
Well, Anne-Marie had said Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Anne-Marie's sitting in here saying Kyle Busch, but that Kyle Busch has been picked. So you've got the
that's
got
okay.
24. Yep.
Gordon. I'll pick
that's
Gordon.
That's okay.
She's
going to
win it.
Since you and Caleb picked the four, I'm going to put Suzanne and AM with the 18. Todd picked the 78, and I'm going to go on a sentimental value like me and you had talked about earlier. I'm going with the 24.
Suzanne
took Kyle?
Yeah,
Suzanne. We can piggyback on it. We can both pick Kyle. It's okay. That's my sister from another mother.
Okay.
Okay. So you and,
all right.
You and Caleb are piggybacking the four. Suzanne and AM are going to piggyback the 18. Todd went with the 78. And I'm going to go with the 24.
Okay, so you and...
Yes.
Okay,
I have to go for Kyle.
Okay, so Suzanne and you are piggybacking on the 18.
Yes, but I know Gordon's going to take it, but we're still going
okay,
for Kyle.
Okay, Tim is taking the 24. Me and Caleb have got the 4, and Todd has a 78 of Martin Truex. So.
Yeah, and Aiden doesn't
stand
a chance. So.
Okay, so those are our picks. That's who's going to win, and that's
That's it.
We've made our picks. We've made our bed. The drivers have made their bed. They got 312 laps this weekend. Whoever crosses the line, they're the winner. That's it. We're done. That's all I got to say. It's been a good season.
We're done. We're gonna take a break. It's been a good season. Suzanne and I are going to Gus Shores for Thanksgiving. Thank God we got a house sitter. And, Stephen, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website. So if you got the floor before we sign off.
Sure. You can follow us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, SpeedwayDigest.com, and Facebook.com/SpeedwayDigest. As we said, there are 3 championships to be decided this weekend out there at Homestead Miami Speedway. Have you read off the times yet?
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Stephen. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Homestead Miami scheduled events. I'm not going to go through practices and qualifying. Friday, the 20th, all times of Easter. Camp World Truck Series, Ford Eco Boost 200. The race is 8 p.m. Eastern Time. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. Saturday, Xfinity Series, Ford Eco Boost 200 at 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time, MRN has your radio, NBC has your TV. And Sunday, the finale, the Sprint Cup Series, Ford EcoBoost 400 to decide who wins the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship is at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. MRN has your radio and NBC has your TV. Any of the last thoughts, Stephen? I'm sorry.
I don't.
Okay.
We'll break it all down next Tuesday night.
That sounds good. Todd, you got any last thoughts from Todd of Alabama?
Nope.
Okay. All right, we're going to play a song, and Steve and I'm not going to do you like I did earlier. Good night from hashtag Dega Nation from Talladega, Super Speedway, Talladega, Alabama. You've been listening to The Pit Stop, Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond, rolling north on 95. With a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side. Tearing down that highway like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde.
Till they read us both our rights.